Hare Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, text number 19. Tad aham matayor madhvya varunya shimadandayo tamomadam harishami Trainayor Ajitatmano Tat Therefore Aham I Matayo Of these two drunken persons Madhvya By drinking liquor Varunya Named Varuni Shimada Andayo, who are blinded by celestial opulence. Tamahmadam, this false prestige due to the mode of ignorance. Harishami, I shall take away. Strainayo, because they have become so attached to women. Ajita Atmano, being unable to control the senses. Translation on purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, since these two persons drunk with the liquor named Varuni or Madhvi and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Purport. When a sadhu chastises or punishes someone, he does not do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Narada Muni was subject to such a spirit of revenge, tamaha. But this was not tamaha, for Narada Muni, in full knowledge of what was for the good of the two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Thus, they are never in tamoguna. Saguna samati tayetan brahma buyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the modes of material nature. Whatever they do, after full consideration, is meant just to lead everyone back home, back to Godhead. So here the two sons of Kuvera are cursed by Narada Muni. And they are demigods. They are in a very exalted position in the material world. And because of this exalted position, they get a bit puffed up. Maybe a bit more. So Krishna, through his energies, sometimes through his energies, sometimes through his devotees, he acts in such a way to make us humble. As Lord Chaitanya says in his Srikshastaka, we cannot chant Hare Krishna if we're not humble. So we get some reaction. Here the sons of Kuvera get cursed. They become a bit humble after. We'll see later. And of course we are not demigods. We can say we are demigods because we are devotees, so we are trying to be devotees. But still we find many things to be proud of. We can be proud. Maybe we don't say it, but on the inside we say, yeah. I am very proud of my wealth. Of course, if we compare our wealth with the wealth of Kuvera, probably it's it's a joke. It's not much. But or we can be proud of our education. We have graduated from this university. We have done these courses. We have this PhD maybe or master degrees. Wow, which is actually like more or less it's demoniac education, so it's not so much things to be proud of. And sometimes we're even proud of things which are somehow almost spiritual, you know, yoga, Ayurveda, psychology, these kind of things. Yeah, of course, I mean, we can use them in devotional service, but the point is that it's quite difficult to admit that these things are more or less zeros, as Srila Prabhupada would say them, would put them. You know, I was in contact in Romania with this Mataji. She was a yoga teacher. She was studying yoga for, she was teaching 15 years, 20 years, something like this. And she was attracted to Krishna consciousness, somehow. She understood that there's something there. But she couldn't take it too seriously because this would mean that she would accept that she wasted 15 years. So she couldn't do that. So she never took it too seriously. So the point is that it's quite difficult to admit that all our education, all our things that we have done before Krishna consciousness, they can be useless. We wasted our times. Yeah, of course, we can, some things we can use, but we always have to pick. And the point is that if we think that our knowledge outside Krishna consciousness is in the, on the same level of, as the knowledge in the Vedas, or if we think that our practices, our methodologies that we use to relieve stress or whatever we have done before, are the same level as chanting Hare Krishna, then this is offenses to the holy name. And in this state we cannot chant Hare Krishna properly. Because we're... I was in October, I was in India. And when I came back, Maharaj was singing this bhajan from Narottam Das Thakur, which he likes to sing. And then I thought this is exactly the conclusions I got from India, from my visit in India, one of them at least. And it explains very, very clearly what's the problem. Where's the problem? Where is the problem? Because it starts and it says, yeah, you chant Hare Krishna, you should have some symptoms. You should be in ecstasy. Hair should stand on end, you should feel shivering in your body. All these symptoms, we should feel them if we chant Hare Krishna. And that's, and also, that's Shaunaka Rishi in, he's also saying the same thing. He says, certainly that heart is still framed, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change with, when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hair stand on end. So Shaunaka Rishi says, okay, we have a still heart. Big problem. So if you're not in ecstasy, then we have a problem. And the problem is, Narottam Das Thakur explains, material desires. So to see, to chant, to experience the holy name, to see the deities, to see Panchatattva, to experience the holy Dham, we need a purified heart. So we need to be free from material desires. So if you are not liberated, then we cannot experience this 10th canto. It's meant for liberated persons. Of course, we can use it as inspiration. And then Narottam Das Thakur gives even further hints. Okay, you have... you should chant the name of Lord Chaitanya and should experience ecstasy. this ecstasy you can get, this material desires you can get away by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And then he says something very, very interesting. He says, you should read. He said, you cannot experience Mayapur, Vrindavan, the holy name, if you don't study the books of the six Goswamis. It's like, wow. He says, when shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunadas Goswami? By their instruction, I shall be able to properly understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So that's the point. We cannot experience Vrindavan, Mayapur, we cannot experience the holy name, we cannot experience Panchatattva if we don't study the writings of the six Goswamis. In Vrindavan, you go to Vrindavan, everyone is Radhe Radhe. They go, like you just go on the street and they are Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. And this Radhe Radhe means a lot of things. most of the times it means, can you give a donation for my seva? these people are like, Radhe Radhe, can you give a donation? I met this gentleman. I was going out from Radha Damodara temple, and I met this gentleman, and he comes to me and he says, can you help with, can you give a donation for my seva? And I was looking and I'm like, what's your seva? I didn't. And then somehow I told him, oh, very nice. We also accept donations for my, I'm a brahmachari. I also accept donations for my seva. So this is the strategy I usually use with beggars. They usually just turn away. They make this face. They're like, this guy is too crazy. And they just go away. And sometimes some of them, and I explain them that philosophically that I'm working for Krishna, and here I say God, and we're spreading the message of God, and he should give some donation for God. So like most of them, they just put this place, they're like, this guy is crazy, and they just go away, you know, which is good enough, it spares me. And sometimes this gentleman, he was looking at me, I was like, okay, and then he's looking, and I'm like, I'm serious. No, I'm not joking. And he actually takes like 5-10 rupees and he gives me the donation. So like, okay. And then I had some books and I gave him a book and like, okay, this is for you. So, and that was like a side dish. But most of the times this Radhe Radhe is something very cheap, you know, like it's something, it's not that these people went to school with Srimata Radharani, you know, like they went to school together, they were like best buddies, and they're like Radhe Radhe, okay, come on, let's be serious. When I was in Romania, we had this devotee, and we were organizing some Janmashtami and festival, and we put Janmashtami festival, tam, birthday of Krishna. And he was looking at the poster. He says, no, you have to write Shri Janmashtami and Shri Krishna's appearance. It might sound minor, but like you're not on the same level with Krishna. You're not on the bodies. So the point is that we cannot understand this 10th canto or Srimati Radharani if we don't study the books. Of course, there's a different side dish. What part should we study from these books? And maybe let's go there. So I was in Mayapur, and they have of course they have Srimad Bhagavatam class, and here we are studying 10th canto, and in Mayapur they are studying 2nd canto. And the devotees were giving class in Mayapur, which is the holy dam, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, where everything, at least a big part of Chaitanya Charitamrita is happening there. First part. So, you were thinking, okay, they should speak some lila, no? Some nice things about Lord Chaitanya. And this second canto, that was creation and this kind of boring stuff. Boring. We call it boring, you know. And one of the devotees said in class that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that for conditioned souls, the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan or Lord Chaitanya are less important than the pastimes in the material energy. Because that's our consciousness, you know. And the problem is not, okay, you can hear about the pastime, so that's very nice. But the problem is that you cannot experience it properly. There are some parts in Srimad Bhagavatam which are more important for, like if you have material desires, probably it's better to hear about this. There's one chapter, it's called Forest of Material Enjoyment. It's this part of King, what's his name? Prachinabarhi. And so it's important. If you think the material world is a nice place and you're gonna find happiness, probably this part is more important than other things. I was just thinking like an example. You can have here, you can have this wonderful lunch. Manjari Swarupa Mataji makes this lunch. She's in the kitchen. You know, it's gonna be some fancy sabji. There's gonna be some savories. There's gonna be some sweets. This creamy sweets. This all this and as Maharaj explains, we have a glove on our tongue. So you go to this nice feast. And you have this glove on your tongue. And you go and take prasadam and it's tasteless. Like, you don't taste anything. And everything looks amazing, you know, like, you can see, okay, it looks good. But it doesn't have any taste. And then someone can glorify the prasadam. Oh, this is so sweet, and this is like this, and this, she put these spices in this. Oh, that's so amazing. And there's some, oh my God. You know, this will probably not help you very much. You know, you still have the glove on your tongue, so it's not gonna help you so much. But if someone will tell you, look, you have a glove on your tongue, you know, like you just put the glove off and then you can experience. It's no problem. No, then you just put the glove off and you're like, wow, oh, this is actually nice. Otherwise, you can hear all this glorification of this lunch and you might even make offenses like, oh, what are they talking about? They're just cheating me. She doesn't know how to cook. She has a bad day, you know. So the point is that for conditioned souls, it's more important to discuss how to engage in sadhana bhakti and how to get detached from this material energy than to discuss 10th canto and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Yeah, because we cannot experience them. So yeah, that was like a side dish. So as Narottam Das Thakur explains, you cannot experience Vrindavan without studying the writings of the six Goswamis. Of course, for us, studying the writings of the six Goswamis means studying Srila Prabhupada's books. It means studying the writings of the six Goswamis as given by Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada gave us these writings in a way that we can understand. He knows very, very well our mentality. So whenever he was writing these books, he had this Srimad Bhagavatam with the commentary of the Acharyas. And he would just pick from the commentaries everything that he would seem, okay, this is more useful for them. And the importance Srila Prabhupada placed on his books, you can see from his life. He was always traveling and he was always writing. And you can, I was in Vrindavan there, and you can see his bed where he passed into Samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada, he was going back to spiritual world, and he thought it's important to give one or two more chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. No. That was important for him. No. And this should become as important. These books should become as important to us as to Srila Prabhupada. You can even see sometimes that there's one recording with Srila Prabhupada dictating his books a bit before departing. So he's just like his 50 kilos, his 40 probably. He's just bones. He's surviving. It's mystic. I'm not qualified to say how Srila Prabhupada was surviving in that condition. But Srila Prabhupada was dictating these books because he thought this is important. And so for us, it's very important to study these books, to read these books, to study these books. I found someone posted on Facebook. There's some article written by an astrologer. Someone devotee found it, and it says about Srila Prabhupada that nobody can read this chart. If they say they are simply lying. The stars are lined up perfectly. There's no question of karma. He's working directly under the will of God. And when he writes, his pen does not have in it ink. His pen has it in it fire, which will burn the ignorance of the whole world. This astrologer, probably he's not a devotee, but he says something, said it would be nice to have this faith, that these books, these writings, which Srila Prabhupada invested so much time in, this can help solve all the problems of this world, can solve our problems, and can solve the problems of the world. And there's this lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Tokyo in 1972. And Srila Prabhupada makes some philosophical point, and he looks at the devotee and he sees they didn't understand or something like this. And Srila Prabhupada is getting a bit serious. He says, you should read all this. You don't read. In the first volume of Bhagavata, these things are explained. So he says, you should have understood this because you should have read these books already. We printed the books. We distributed the books. You are devotees. You should have read the books. Do you read? So if you don't read, then you will feel restless. Oh, let me go from Japan to India, from India to Japan. You are restless because you don't read. I am laboring so hard for you, but you don't take advantage. Don't take advantage of eating and sleeping. Take advantage of these books. Then your life will be successful. My duty I have given you so valuable things, day and night trying to convince you, each word to word. And if you don't take advantage of this, then what can I do for you? So this is Srila Prabhupada's words. So this is probably one of the biggest problems we have, that we don't take the Srila Prabhupada's books seriously. So many devotees probably don't read these books. And if we read it, we don't take them seriously, like that maybe we should actually follow what's in the books. So if you don't read and we don't follow, then why would you distribute these books? So that's so this Srila Prabhupada marathon. Srila Prabhupada had this this vision that if people read these books, then there will be a change in consciousness, in their consciousness. Then a change can happen in this world. And he wanted to do this big, 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 big. Like we're doing, we think we're doing a lot of books, but he wanted that everyone, every house, everyone, every family has a set, a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books. Everyone. So, and this will change the world. This would change the world. So, we should have this faith that these books, sometimes devotees said, oh, these books, which are the good books, this is a good book, this is a bad book, this is, teachings of Lord Chaitanya is a bad translation, which probably it is, like that's what happens when you, in the beginning you translate the books, whoever is available, and probably they don't have the best, language skills and so on, and the translation. But these books, which are sometimes not properly translated or not the best translated, this can change the consciousness. Just think, you know, these people, Mlechas, they see Lord Chaitanya, you know, like they go and they see each morning, they go in their living room and they see Lord Chaitanya. Wow, this is amazing. This is not something small. So it's our duty to do this. And then this Prabhupada marathon is like a wonderful opportunity to be like fully absorbed in the mission. Sometimes we do so many things and we're not so absorbed in preaching, you know, like, well, yeah, go about our day, do our things, and yeah, let's get to prasadam. And this is like a good opportunity to be really absorbed in the mission. I see some devotees are doing this. I see some devotees are waking up and then they are absorbed. And when they chant the round, you can see that they are in this prayerful mood. You know, they are really praying, oh Krishna, please help that this marathon is successful, please help, please let me know how can I serve better, how can I do more, how can I be more useful, how can I be this. So, the point is that, this is the mood which we should have during this marathon. Not only during this marathon, but at least during this marathon. To always think, okay, how can I serve better? How can I serve more? How can these books which will save these people, get to as many people as possible? So, if we do this is not, this project, this Prabhupada Marathon, this is not a project of, Sankirtan team, is not a project of Nava Yoga Pit temple, is a project of the whole community. And it's a really an opportunity for everyone to experience what it is to surrender a bit to Krishna. And it's not that we go out and have fun. Sometimes I hear, okay, we'll go and enjoy. Wow, really? That's our that's not our philosophy. That our philosophy is that we go out and we do many things to please Srila Prabhupada. And if we do that, then we will enjoy. Then we will find real enjoyment. That's real enjoyment. Then if we please Srila Prabhupada, then we will find real enjoyment. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some questions, comments. Maharaj, you want to say something?
Let here you are 7-8 people. The half of the crew is sick or sleeping, and also the half of yatra is burned out. So, what about this? How can we do more or be motivated if we are falling down daily?
Well, how many we are? Srila Prabhupada was alone, apparently. No, he was alone. Srila Prabhupada never spoke about that he will have one temple with 5 devotees. That was not his vision. Srila Prabhupada was a visionary. Srila Prabhupada was like just repeating the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision that all the high court judges will have tilak, and then there will be. So Srila Prabhupada had this vision, you know, like, and Srila Prabhupada, when he went to New York, he incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This international, Srila Prabhupada had 20 hippies or whatever he had at that point, which were somehow following, and that's all. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Someone met Srila Prabhupada in a park. And Srila Prabhupada knew that, okay, this is gonna happen. So it's a matter of desire. The problem is that we don't have such a strong desire. If we would have a strong desire, I'll put the other part also, because of course there's a larger picture. But more or less the point is that if you have desires, Krishna will respond and he will help us do something. I mean, what we're doing is already amazing. Don't get me wrong. You know, like, what we're doing is already amazing. And this is happening because some devotees have the desire that this will happen, that will not just, you know, like, okay. There's some desire, there's some devotees who are like full on. And yeah, of course, I mean, that's one part. And we should develop this strong desire to do something for Srila Prabhupada. And of course, we should take care of practical things. If someone is sick, he's sick. What can you do? You know, like, he should take some rest. He should do that, you know, like, you should see what's the limitations. But at the same time, you have to desire to increase your service. You know, that's my understanding. So you should have this desire. And of course, I mean, you should see what's your bodily limitations. And but sometimes, you know, like, sometimes in this situation, some miracles happen, you know, like, you just don't feel sick anymore, you know, like, you just, I don't know, if you have a strong desire, many days, you know, you wake up, you have a huge headache, you have huge, and you have a strong desire, oh no, today, this Padayatra, this is the day, I have to go for Padayatra. What can I do? You go and you rest 1 hour and you're like praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, I want to go out. And Krishna responds. Yeah, but both sides are important. Alright. Thank you so much. Rantarachimat Bhagavatam ki jai.